If you want to take your Bibles, please, we go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to look in God's Word at some things that God says that God is. What God is. We're going to look a little bit about God. And, well, there's quite a bit in God's Word. I really only picked a few things. But I think that there are things that are important for us that we recognize who God says that he is and that he's consistently that way. When you say somebody is something, when we say God is something, we're talking about his nature, that it's the nature of God, that he's consistently that way. And when God tells that he is some way, like he told us in the manifestations, we can expect that he will be. You know, he's made us righteous, he said in the manifestations, where we have his righteousness. Well, if we have his righteousness, that means that he is righteous. That's one of the things we're going to see. But first in John chapter 4, you can just relax today. We're just going to read some wonderful verses about God, okay? Nothing heavy. Don't worry. I'm not going to reprove you for what you ate last night or anything like that. I don't think I am. We'll see what happens. But it says in John chapter 4, look at verse 24. I think it's a pretty familiar verse to us. God is a spirit. And we know that word "a" really doesn't belong there, that article. It should just say God is spirit. So what is God? God is spirit. Literally, that's what God is. God is not human. God doesn't have flesh and blood. God is spirit. So when we think of God, we don't think of him as an old man with a white beard or whatever beard you want to give him, or, you know, somebody who acts like people act. But it says God is spirit. And then it says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So one thing that the Bible clearly says that God is spirit. If you go to Psalm, please, Psalm 99. Psalm 99. This is a beautiful one. Listen, I'm going to ask you to read some verses for us, okay? So Psalm 99. And we're going to read Psalm 99:9. Easy one to remember. Ready, Elizabeth? 99:9.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy.
The Lord our God is holy. Let's look at this one in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11. So God is spirit. Is one thing that God is. It's his nature. His nature is spirit. And other things that we see here are characteristics of his nature. So this is God is holy. God is holy. Leviticus is a beautiful one. Leviticus chapter 11. And here is in a series of things that God is telling his people. We're going to pick it up in verse 44, okay? He's telling what to do, what not to do, and for good reason. And then it says in verse 44, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. The word sanctify in the Bible is a word that is to be holy, to separate. And ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. The word holy in the Bible is a word that's mostly used two different ways. One way is that it's something that is pure, has just no impurity, no foreign matter in it whatsoever, perfectly pure. That's one use of the word holy. Another is that it's something that's separate or devoted. So, you know, there were holy things of the temple. They were things that were devoted specifically to the temple. They were set apart from other common things as being separate. You know, in the Bible, the Nazarite, you've read about the Nazarite, like Samson was, they took a vow. That Nazarite means separated. They made themselves separate. And that's what God says. God is holy. God is separate. There's a place that talks about that you can't even approach unto him because he is so holy, so separate from everybody else. Yet, of course, we see how God cares for people and has given us entrance into his throne room. But let's never forget, the way God is holy. He's pure. He can't have any mixture of something that's not pure and holy. He doesn't have any mixture of evil in him. And that's really wonderful for us to recognize. I know if anybody asked somebody, they'd always say, oh yes, God has no evil in him. But is it the way they think of him when they're thinking during their life? That he's not looking at them to judge them or condemn them, or that he's really not so kind or considerate of people? Well, he says he's holy. He's purely, purely pure. Here's a beauty. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. God is light. God is light. 1 John chapter 1. And look at verse 5. 1 John 1 and verse 5. Liz, would you read for us? 1 John 1, 5.
1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Yeah, wow. It says God is light, and therefore in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. So if this is the nature of God, that this characteristic of God is that God is light, no darkness at all, then that's how we need to think of our Father. He tells us truly who he is in his word. Look at James, please. Here's a beautiful one in James. So just back a little bit, go to James chapter 1. And let's look at verse 17. James 1, 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's a really beautiful, a beautiful figure there. No variableness. This word variableness, it comes from a word for the celestial bodies, you know, like the moon and planets and stuff, and how as they're in their orbit and as they rotate, that there's shadow. You know, one side there's light, the other side is dark. Like the moon is pretty obvious, right? You know, we see shadows as it moves. And it says God doesn't have that. He has no changing positions. God is just exactly what he says he is. So if it says he's light, he's just pure light. He's just pure light. There's no darkness. There's no shadows. There's no changing position. And then this shadow of turning, it refers again also to the heavenly bodies. And as they move, that, you know, that's what causes the darkness. As they're turning, as they're moving, and as their position from the sun is different, there's shadow. With God, there's none of this. There's no variableness. There is no shadow of turning. He is always exactly what he says he is, which is light. Which is light. No darkness at all. That's our God. That's the way he is. And Malachi tells us something really wonderful. Many of you know this verse in Malachi chapter 3. So God is spirit. He's not like people. So when we think of God, we shouldn't think of him as a person. We think of him as something that is separate, that is different from people. And then he explains in his word exactly what he is, exactly who he is. He explains in his word exactly how he will be to us. And because there's no variableness, because there's no shadow of turning, we can expect that God will consistently be the way that he describes himself to us. If you look at Malachi chapter 3, many of you know this verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I change not. I'm the Lord. I don't change. We change. We change a lot. Probably it's good that we change, because we all had a pretty bad start being in sin and without God in the world. It's kind of good that we change. But God, pure light. God, holy. He doesn't change. So we can expect that even if I change in what I do toward him, he still does not change. He is still consistently the same way that he tells us that he is. And it's all good. In this case, you can say that expression and it's true. It's all good, baby. Numbers 23. Numbers chapter 23, please. Some people think that God is nice sometimes and he's not nice other times. Or you could do something and it's going to turn him away from you. Not possible for us in our relationship with him. He's consistently the way he says that he is. And we're going to see that God is truth. God is truth. Numbers 23. Another verse a lot of people have memorized, verse 19. Want to read that for us, Liz?
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
And I know we use this verse. We know it, a lot of us. We think of it. But, you know, we're not like that. So we don't want to foist on God the way that we think about ourselves or our own behavior. When God says here that he's not a man that he should lie, and that he says here, if he said it, he's going to do it, it's not like me. I say some things that I don't do. I do some things that I don't say I'm going to do. And all those other things in between. Because there's variableness, there's a shadow of turning. I also don't have the ability to do everything I say I do. Even if I have the right intention, I may not have the ability to do it. God never is in that situation. So we shouldn't put in our minds that God has an intention but just doesn't do it for some reason. He states what he's going to do, and you can be sure he's going to do it. And that he is the way that he says he is. Titus. Let's go to Titus, please. Titus chapter 1. Titus. Timothy, Titus chapter 1. And look at verse 2. Titus chapter 1. And Liz, would you read verse 2 for us?
Titus 1, 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Well, I guess if he cannot lie, he has to tell the what? What did you say? Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sure you said truth, right? God that cannot lie, he tells the truth. He tells the truth. And so if we really want truth, kind of like Herod said, what is truth? God is truth. So therefore, he's given us his word that's truth. Look at Deuteronomy, please, chapter 32. This is just nice, 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 looking at verses about our wonderful Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And look at verse 4. Deuteronomy 32. And verse 4. It says he's a rock. You know, God is a rock. God's, you know, he's unmovable. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. That's the way God is. There's no variableness. There's nothing that changes. There's no darkness. That's exactly the way he is. Well, here's one. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I was trying to think of a good example. You know, here's a stupid one I thought of. So sorry, I couldn't think of a better one. But, you know, if you talk about somebody that embodies what something should be like, you say that they are that thing. Let me explain what I mean. I don't know how I came up with this example, but let's say there's a person that's in charge of the housing association for the area that you live in. Okay, most of us don't live in housing associations, praise the Lord. But let's say there's somebody that runs the whole community. You say that they are that community. You know, you say, oh, Barbara, she is the housing association. What do you mean? Well, she really isn't the housing association, but she embodies everything about it. That's what she's all about. And when we talk about God, we should realize that it is what he's all about. God is truth. God is light. And he's consistently truth. He's consistently light. He doesn't change. There's no variableness. What we need to do is to make sure that we don't change in our minds concerning who he is and how he is with us. It's not based on our behavior. Our behavior can never change God's nature. 1 John chapter 4, if you look at verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. So all that love is, it's embodied in God. Let's go down to verse 16. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is love. So for us to expect any less from him is to think differently from his nature. The way that he is, the way that he always was, the way that he always will be. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. You know, I just picked a few of these. Bless me to think about who our Heavenly Father is. Sometimes we spend way too much time thinking about how we are and how we're not what we think we should be. But let's focus on who he is and how wonderful he is and how consistent and faithful he is to us because of his wonderful nature. God is merciful. He's merciful. Deuteronomy 4. Liz, would you read 31? 4:31.
Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them.
He's a merciful God. He's merciful. You know, God is always looking out to help somebody. Mercy is something that you do because of somebody's need. You show mercy on them. That's how we use it in English. But we show mercy on them. Somebody who has a need, we extend ourselves to them. That's how God is to us. He's merciful. He's not just judgmental. He's not just waiting for us to make a mistake so we can see his wrath. But he's a merciful God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Samuel Kings Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 30. Here during the reign of Hezekiah, let's go down to verse 9. Second Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive. You know, they had been taken captive as a nation. So that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. His nature is to be gracious and merciful. Sometimes people do turn themselves away from him. Sometimes there is a little shadow of turning among people, and they turn their face away from God, so they can't receive the great blessings of his faithfulness, of his mercy, of his love, his grace. Psalm 119, please. Here's one, something I'm studying this year is about the righteousness of God and how he's made us righteous. A couple of verses here. Psalm 119 and verse 142. Liz, would you read that for us? 119, 142.
Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
We got two for the price of one. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Let's go to Psalm 145. 145, please. Psalm 145. I was listening this last couple of weeks to some teachings that Dr. Victor Paul Werwell did. And they were Sunday morning fellowships like this one. And one thing Dr. Werwell did on Sunday mornings was he would get people together who wanted to get together, and they would pray. Sometimes they would sing, and he would just share. He would just share verses with them. He would share with them things to set the week, to set the coming week, of things for people to think about, things for people to consider, things for people to be warned about in the coming week. And I thought of that when I was looking at these verses. One wonderful thing for us would be to take our eyes off of what the world is saying and talking about what we might be feeling personally ourselves as well, but to put our thinking, to put our thoughts on God, who he is and how he is toward us. That should lighten our life a little bit, don't you think? Where did I say?
145.
145, verse 17. 145, 17. You want to read that one?
145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works.
There you have it. Righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. It's the way he is. It's just the way he is. For us to think differently is to think wrongly. Psalm 9. Let's go to the ninth psalm. Psalm 9. He's just righteous in everything he does, and he's holy in all of his works. Psalm 9 and verse 8. Liz, would you read verse 8 for us?
And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness.
In uprightness, yeah. He will judge the world. People think of and know that there's going to be a judgment coming. To you and I as believers, we know that we've been judged in Christ because we accepted what he did. And therefore, the kind of judgment that we have is different from the judgment that comes to people who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes that really clear. But even when God is dealing in judgment with people who are not those that are born again, his judgment is righteous. His judgment is just. It's because that's how God is. The word righteous, it comes from a word that means to be right or straight. To be right or straight, that's what it comes from. It's never wrong. It's never crooked. If it's righteous, it's right or straight. It's just, it's never not straight. It's never not right. You know, in the world, everything is not fair. Much as some of your kids want to think that everything should be fair, it's not. And in the world, it will never be fair. Only true fairness, only true equity, only true righteousness are coming from God, the things of God. He has to justly judge the world. It's a tongue twister. He has to justly judge the world. That's the way God is, just. So his judgment is just. And you know, he has to be just to the evil as well as to the good. And that clears up a lot of questions that people have about God. God is always just. It's his nature to be just. By the way, you know, just and righteous, it's the same word in the Hebrew. It's also the same word in Greek. It's just because one comes from French, one comes from Old English. That's the only difference. So he's just, he's righteous. And he treats every single human, every single spirit being justly, because that is his nature. Kind of clears up a lot of questions that people have. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Well, one thing to keep in mind, that God is just. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. So it's the nature of God to be just. He can't be unjust. He can't. It's the way that he is. It's his nature. You can't ask an ant to be like a sparrow. It's an ant. It's going to act like an ant. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he, it's talking about God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, because of Adam and because of his sin, all humans were born in sin. All humans were born guilty before God. In order for God to be just, that had to be the case. But also the case, because God is just, that all those who accept God's invitation can be made righteous. All those who accept what God had done in Christ can be right before God, can have no more guilt, can have eternal life because of him. You see, just as God is to the unbeliever, God is just to the believer. It's his nature. It's the way he is. God's justice demands judgment. Justice demands judgment. We have in the United States a Justice Department. Their job is to say something that is wrong and to say this is what the consequence is of that thing that's wrong. Or something that's right, and this is the freedom that you have because you've been declared right. God is a judge, and he has to be, but he is a just judge. So every judgment that God makes is not based on partiality. It's not based on taking bribes. It's not based upon his personal likes and dislikes. It's because he is always just. He's a just judge. His justice demands judgment, but his love demands mercy and grace. Other nature things of God, things that God is. Romans chapter 2. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Here's something that can only also be said of God. I wish we could be more like this, and I think we're renewing our minds to be that way. But it's true of God in verse 11. A short one, Lace. You want to read it?
For there is no respect of persons with God.
No respect of persons with God. Doesn't matter how you flip your hair around, or how many nice things that you do for people, or if you eat somebody else's chocolate bar. To God, I'm sorry. As far as God is concerned, no respect of persons. And there again explains so many things in the world, because God is consistently just. God is never a respecter of persons. You accept his requirements for righteousness. Very simple. Romans 10, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That's it. That's it. Whether you are a good person or a bad person, whether you flip your hair one way or another, whether you wear some things or don't, whether you live on that side of the tracks or on this, no difference, because God is no respecter of persons. Matthew chapter 5, one of my personal favorites. It's my teaching. I can do my favorite verses if I want to. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 45. Matthew 5. Verse 45. These would be nice things for us to think today, this week, that we think about our God and how he is and how consistent, how faithful he is. 5:45. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Explains a lot of things. God is consistently a kind God. He's consistently a God who has care for everyone, a God who is just. Colossians chapter 3. Well, if we're looking for equity, and people are, today people are protesting and rioting. They're marching this way and that way, and they're looking for some kind of justice, some kind of equity. Well, let me tell you something. The only equity that we ever will truly find is that which God gives. In the world, we're not going to find equality. In the world, we're not going to find peace. Sorry to rain on somebody's parade, but that's the way it is. However, equality is possible. Peace is possible. It's possible by the way that God provided for everyone, irrespective of personality. Everyone can have peace. Everyone can have equality, but only according to God, not according to what the world does. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to go to verse 9. See, the actions of people who are protesting, they might cause some sort of social change. They might possibly force some kind of political adjustment, and maybe for the short term. But they don't change the nature of the natural man, the man of wrath. Doesn't change your nature. Spirit that comes from God is a different nature. And that's what we have. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man. Doesn't, not talking about your father. The old man, it's here, it's, or your husband. The old man it's talking about is the old nature that you had, that we have, body and soul, not spirit. Okay? The one that we got from Adam, that icky one, you know. It says, seeing we have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Put off and put on is a figure that refers to putting off and on clothing. Just like you put a shirt on, or Summer didn't put her pants on today. So that's the figure here. You put on. Don't put on, put off the old man. Put on the new man. Think not of the physical, natural nature. Take on that of the spiritual nature that we got through God, through the Spirit, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How beautifully accurate this is. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Looking for equality in any organic unity out there in the world is only going to bring you frustration. But looking for equality, looking for equity, looking for justice, the place that it will be is in the body of Christ that God has set up. It's because of who God is that we can have that. And in the body of Christ, you and I, God forbid that we have prejudice because a person is of a certain socioeconomic background or a certain color or a certain creed or a certain whatever. We're one in Christ. We just read it. Look at this one. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Because God is consistently the way he is, we, brothers and sisters, need to make our minds think according to the way that God is and according to the nature that he has given to us. That nature is spirit, and that spirit, just like God who gave it, has wonderful qualities. We can think according to these great qualities and expect that God is going to be consistent in the way he is toward us. Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now in the world, there is bond or free, isn't there? In the world, there is male or female. Praise the Lord. But in the Spirit, one. We're all equal. We all have equal opportunity. We all have the ability to take upon us that which God has given to us, that spirit nature, and to live according to it. Psalm 98. Two more places I want to go here. First one is Psalm 98, please. Our God is the way that he is. Because he is the way that he is, we can expect to have everything that God has promised to us consistently. And he tells us that we ought to think according to that spirit nature that he gave to us. Psalm 98. Liz, you want to read verses 8 and 9?
Psalm 98:8. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity.
There's where you get righteousness and equity, God. So that's where it comes from. If you want equity, please, you know, you're really not going to get it in the world. I'm sorry. I wish we did. The more of us that are out there as believers, the more equity is going to be out there in the world. But what we do have equity in the body of Christ. What we do have equality in the body of Christ. What we do have is righteousness in the body of Christ. No one counts for more than one, and everyone counts for one. In the body of Christ, that's what we got because of what God gave us, because of who he is. And I wanted to go to 1 John, please. That's where we're going to close, in 1 John. So God is so wonderful. He's holy. He's true. He's kind. He's got mercy. You know, we didn't read all these things. He's got compassion. He's everything anybody could ever want. God is, by his nature, holy. By his nature. He cannot change. So we should expect him consistently to be that way. And let's remember, because he's a God of equity, he plays no favorites. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is sort of interesting, this verse, because it's probably punctuated incorrectly, even in the printed Greek. It really should read, if we walk in light as he is, then in the light we have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light as he is, you know, we already read that verse up a little farther, that God is light. If we walk in the light as he is light. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And truly our fellowship is with God and with Jesus Christ, his Son. The verse is just amazing because we can walk in the light as he is light. We can walk as he is. In this world, we can show people the nature of God by the way that we act. Jesus said, he that sees me sees the Father. We, as we act according to God's word and to the nature that he gave to us, we can also show the world that love of God, that mercy of God, the truth of God's word. We can show them consistently how wonderful God is. And you know, outside of his word, outside of the one body of Christ, we're not going to find equity. So don't get disappointed. Let's just set our expectation. It's not going to be there. But where it is going to be and where it must be is in the body of Christ, because God is consistently good, consistently kind. God is consistently truth. He's consistently holy. So some good things about God's nature.